Good to be together this morning. Good to see Ike and Kendra. Haven't seen you guys for a good while. Thankful for the Lord's goodness and His mercies. Want to share this morning a message that the Lord laid on my heart. Again, I confess, I need Jesus. And I need Jesus because I want to be free. I don't know, when you see that wanting to be free, I don't know what goes through your mind. But I have to think of the Pharisees when Jesus was talking to them. You could be free. They said, we're not in bondage. We're not in bondage to anybody. We're Abraham's seed. What are you talking to us about being free? You're the guy that's got the problems, not us. And basically Jesus told them, okay, if you wanted to be free and admitted your need to be free, you could be free. But as long as you say, don't have any needs, I'm not in bondage, you're not going to be free. So, I want us to think about this morning. I'm guessing, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or speak to this, but I'm guessing that every one of us have some areas in our lives that we would like to be free of. There's things, maybe it's circumstances, maybe it's something that we drag along from our past. Whatever it might be, I'm guessing there's some things that we would like to be free of. And I'm here this morning to confess that I have those things in my life that I want to be free of. And I want us to recognize this morning that that freedom can only come through Jesus Christ. That's what I want us to hear this morning. That's what I want us to come to this morning. So we're going to look at some things here this morning. What does it mean to be free? How would you describe? Let me just hear some things from you. How would you describe freedom? Jade talked about freedom this morning. We have freedom to gather together without fear of the authorities coming in. Peace? Okay. Independence? Joy? Peace and joy are probably results of freedom. Not necessarily the same thing. Independence is something that we often think of in relation to freedom. So just think about this. Am I free? Is that something that I know the reality of? Can I, God knows my heart. God knows what's going on inside of me. And I can, I can stand here and I can express myself and you can look at me and you say, oh, he's a free man. I wish I was free. But you don't know what's going on inside of me. God does. And God knows what's going on inside of you. So before God this morning, can you stand in the presence of God and say, I am free? Paul was bold enough to say, I'm free from the blood of all men. I don't have any guilt on my hands of anybody. We could ask ourselves, how can I be free? There's a lot of people in our world that long to be free. People that struggle with addictions, that just, they don't want to be there. They do not want to be there. And yet they have not found anything that can release them, that can free them from that addiction. They know it's killing them. They know it's destroying their health and their body and their mind. But they can't get free. It's got a hold on them. It's got a bondage on them. Once I am free, can I come into bondage again? Is freedom something that happens and that's, once we're free and that's it? Well, we know the answer. It's obvious. It happens with nations. It happens with people. Peter talks about those that were free and then they return like a dog to its own vomit. So freedom doesn't necessarily, just because we're free doesn't mean that it's always, forever. It's something that has to be maintained. I want us to look at a story this morning. It's in a number of scriptures, Matthew 8, in Mark chapter 5, and in Luke chapter 8. And I want us to read, I want to turn to Luke chapter 8, and I want to read this story this morning. I want us to pay attention to a number of things as we read this. I want you to just use your imagination here a little bit. Because this story that's given to us here, this is an action. It's not a story as in made up. It's an actual happening. And this is a real person that this is happening to. So I want us to think, because there's details given to us here, but there's a lot of things that aren't given. So I want us to think about those while we read. So the disciples had just ridden across the lake with Jesus in the boat. The storm had come, and they were afraid and wondered if they were going to live. And as they get to the other side, they get off the boat in this land called the land of the Gadarenes. By the way, it's interesting that word Gadarenes means reward at the end. So you can consider that as we think about this story as well. In verse 26, they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, and in Matthew it calls the Gennesarans, which is over against Galilee. It's down at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, and by the way, Matthew says there was two of these men, which had devils long time. And now pay attention what kind of a guy this is. This description that Jesus, that is given to us here in the scripture of this man, would describe what a lot of people in our world today would think of as freedom. Okay? He didn't wear clothes. Well, that's freedom. If you can just walk around, in your birthday suit and, that's freedom to a lot of people. So that's one thing we notice. He didn't abide in a house. He didn't have any place where he was tied down to. He lived in the tombs. By the way, this man was living in death in a number of ways. And we'll go on and see some more things about him. But here, he sees Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Why was Jesus here? Why was Jesus here? Okay. He was here to set this man free. He knew this man was here, or these men, as Matthew says. He knew the situation before he got there, didn't he? And he was there to meet the need. Now, I want you to think about something with me. We say, we look at a man like this and we say, man, this guy is bound. He is so bound, he is a mess. He's got scars all over him. He might have been bleeding even then because he cut himself and he was, you know, he obviously wasn't clean. He was just horrible. What do you think when you see a person like that? Could it be that the grip of an uncompassionate heart is a bondage that you and I need to be free from? What do we see when we see people? Do we see that they're wearing no clothes? Do we see that they're living in the tombs? Do we see that they're an awful mess? Or do we see a heart that is hurting and needs a Savior, needs deliverance, needs hope? Jesus was here because he knew what this man needed. And he was here to bring hope and deliverance to this man. And this man comes in verse 28. He saw Jesus and he cried out and he fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, one of the things you notice here is it's hard to determine when the man is speaking and when the demons are speaking. That's typical of demon situations. The demon uses the man's voice, although oftentimes it's not his actual voice. It's a different voice. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." I don't know what this looks like to you, but here's a guy that, by the way, fetters were something they put around his ankles, his feet. And so they'd wrap chains around his arms and they'd put these fetters on his feet so he was, you know, he was basically immobile. But it lasted about 10 seconds. And he'd snap those things off like nothing. You say, well, this guy's free. You know, people couldn't do anything that would stop him. He could do whatever he wanted to. He was free. No, he was driven by something that he did not want to be driven by. What motivates us? What moves us? Is it the Spirit of God directing us, leading us, showing us the way? Or are we driven? In our world today, a driven person is looked up to. This man was driven. He was driven by the evil spirits. And Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." You notice it's hard to distinguish between him and the evil spirits, because many devils were entered into him. Many devils. Wow. I can't imagine what this must have been like for this man. I just cannot imagine. Anything he wanted, he couldn't have. And all the stuff he didn't want to do, he did. I'm guessing he might have killed some people. Doesn't tell us all those details. But it was bad. It was real bad. So these devils, these demons, besought Jesus that he wouldn't command them to go into the deep. Jesus has the power, the authority, to speak to evil spirits and tell them what they can do and can't do. And they go where he tells them to go. They have to. You notice they put up a little fuss, but they have to go. There was a herd of swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him he'd suffer or allow them to enter into them, and he allowed them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When those that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. So you see, there was something else going on here. All of a sudden, his mind was free. He was in his right mind. And they were afraid. Wait a minute. Here's a guy that could take any of them out and all of them out all together. And he's there and they're okay with it. It's just life. But all of a sudden this man gets deliverance and he's sitting there clothed and in his right mind and they're afraid? Sounds to me like there were some other people needed to be set free too, right? Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up in the ship and returned back again. Wow. Sad. People that needed freedom didn't want freedom. They liked life the way it was. Don't mess with things. It gets too messy. I'll just tell you this morning that if you really want freedom, it gets messy. You have to dig pretty deep. You have to allow the Spirit of God to dig pretty deep and dig up some bones and dig up some junk and deal with it so there can be freedom. The man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. He just wanted to be with Jesus. I would too. Jesus just set me free. I want to be with him. But Jesus sent him back, saying, "Return to your own house and show how great things God has done to you." He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass, when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, besought him, for they were all waiting for him. This man's changed life and testimony was able to bring these people to a place of wanting to see Jesus as well. You know what? When we get free, it's going to show. And people are going to know. And they're going to want to see Jesus too. Now, let's look at some things. Jesus came to bring freedom. Over in Isaiah chapter 61, the prophecy is, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound." Jesus reads this scripture over in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. He's up in the synagogue and he reads this scripture. And you notice when he read this scripture, they got mad. They went crazy. Because Jesus read what was prophesied about him. And this is so interesting. He came to set them at liberty. Came to proclaim liberty. This was the purpose of Jesus coming. That was one of the purposes. Now, seeking God allows us to walk in freedom. Psalm 119, verse 45, "I will walk in liberty because I seek thy precepts." When you and I align ourselves with God, we find freedom. See, when we are out of alignment with God, we're not free. We're bound. When we come into alignment with God, we are free. And that's the process of coming to freedom. Jesus has to set us free from that misalignment, the lies we believe, the lies we're living in, the things we're practicing. He has to set us free from that, and then we have to desire to know His will and His way, His precepts. And when we know those and walk in them, we're in alignment with Him. We're in agreement with Him. And that's important for us. We need to remember that. We need to think about that. Jesus comes to give us a glorious liberty. Now, I don't know what better picture you could have of glorious liberty than this man in this story. I mean, here's a man who was destroying himself, who did not fit in society, who had nothing. And all of a sudden, this man is totally changed. He thinks differently. He acts differently. He speaks differently. His interests are different. Everything is different about him. And Romans 8:21 talks about this glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious freedom. Glorious liberty that's ours in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God brings us freedom. One of the marks of being filled with the Spirit is freedom. And one of the things that has to happen to have that is we have to be willing to give up. Surrender. Agree with God. Come in alignment with God. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I don't understand why people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that brings liberty. The Holy Spirit is not here destroying things. Well, He is destroying some things, yeah, things that need to be destroyed. But He's not destroying God's people. His purpose is to bring freedom, liberty into our lives. He's working with Christ, remember? He's one with Christ. So Christ came to set us free. The Holy Spirit is here to bring us liberty. God the Father is working for the purpose of liberty, so that's important for us. The law of God is a law of liberty. James talks about this. He refers to it twice in chapter 1 and chapter 2 there of James. The law of liberty. Now, let me just explain something to you. This is something I picked up a number of years ago from a Bible school teacher. He explained it this way. Liberty is the freedom to fulfill our purpose. And he used the illustration of a train. Here's a train. Not very many of them left right around here. But here's an engine. A big, shiny engine with all kinds of power. He can pull hundreds of cars. Tons and tons and tons. One day this train is looking and he sees a car driving down the road and he watches and that car just goes here and there. It doesn't have to worry about tracks. And the train says to himself, "These tracks are hindering me. They are a bondage to me. If I could just be free like that car, I could go and I could see places and do things that I cannot do now." And so the engine goes off the track onto the road. What's going to happen? Freedom? all of a sudden he's in bondage. He's stuck. He's not going anywhere without help, right? He's no longer free. He's now in bondage because what he thought was freedom was bondage. And what he thought was bondage was actually freedom. We need to come in alignment with God about what freedom is. Okay? We need to be careful that we don't confuse bondage and freedom. And so we start seeking after what we think is freedom when it's actually bondage. The law of liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6 tells us that fasting is one of the things that we can use as a tool to bring liberty to other people as well as ourselves. Isaiah 58 verse 6, God says to the children of Israel, they were fasting, but they were fasting for their own benefit, for their own gain. They had this idea that fasting was twisting God's arm. So God wasn't doing what I wanted done, and so if I fasted long enough and hard enough, I could twist God's arm and I could get what I want. It didn't work. It never works. Fasting, Isaiah tells us, is that God says, this is my fast. This is what I want you to fast for. To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. And let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Oh, wow. That sounds a lot different than the kind of fasting they were thinking about. So that freedom could come. I just recently reading a book, and one of the things that he mentioned in there was that fasting is especially effective in breaking addictions. Because addictions are controlling us, and when we choose to fast, then we control Then we are not being controlled by ourselves, by our own flesh. So that's just an interesting side note. The truth sets us free. This is an interesting passage. This is what I was referring to about the Pharisees. Jesus is having quite a conversation, a back and forth with the Pharisees here in John 8. He's talking about being free, and they're talking about, no, we're not in bondage, and all of that, like I mentioned earlier. And so you could back up and read the verses before this. But Jesus says that if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, Let me just put something together here for us. Who knew the Scriptures word for word? The guys Jesus is talking to. So, wait a minute. I'm a little confused here. You take my word, and you'll know the truth. You continue in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But he tells them you're in bondage. So what is going on here? These guys are missing something. And it's something that you and I can miss really easily as well. It's not about being in a book. It's about being in a person. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now the book shows us the person. But the Pharisees looked at the book and didn't see the person. And that can happen to you and I. How many times do we read the Word of God and all we see is the words, we don't see the person? The truth will set you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So this is important for us. This is something we've got to understand. We've got to get a hold of. We are talking about the person, Jesus Christ, who is able to set us free, who came to set us free. Now, freedom also depends on who we yield to. Romans chapter 6, chapter 8 talks a lot about this. It says, whoever you yield your members to obey, that's whose servants you are. So you can either be free from sin or you can be free to sin. You can be free from sin and free to righteousness, or you can be free in sin and free from righteousness. Am I getting you confused? It's who you serve. And again, it's not about serving words, it's about serving a person. Serving Jesus Christ. Serving Jesus Christ. Now, you say, well, I serve Jesus Christ. All right, let's go back to the beginning of the story again. What do I feel toward people that I look at as disgusting? If I'm serving Jesus Christ, I have His heart. I feel compassion. If I'm not free, then I'm just like the Pharisee. Remember how the Pharisee prayed? Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this guy. I do all this good stuff. Man, I'm in church every Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. I give tithes. God, I thank you I'm not like this man. You know what it says there in that scripture? It says he despised others. He despised others. So which side am I on? Do I despise people or do I have compassion? Am I like Jesus or not like Jesus? Am I free or am I in bondage? Questions I have to ask myself. And I got to admit, I don't always come out where I want to. I need freedom so that I can have the compassion of our Lord. So that I can have His heart toward all men, wherever they might be. Freedom is not from the flesh, it's from the Spirit. Paul, I love Paul. This guy, Peter, says he talks about things that are hard to be understood. And Paul looks back at the Old Testament and he picks up all kinds of things there. And Galatians, he really brings them out. And one of the things he picks up there is he says the story of Sarah and Hagar are an allegory. You read, I don't have all the verses up there, but go back in Galatians 4 and read this. He says, Hagar represents the covenant that God gave as the law. Sarah represents the covenant that God gave as promise. Now, this gets pretty deep. You've got to put your thinking caps on and start thinking about some of this. But he says, the one from Mount Sinai, that's Hagar, and the other is Jerusalem, which is above. Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answereth to the city of Jerusalem, which is in bondage with her children. Why were they in bondage? Why was the nation of Israel in bondage when Paul was writing? They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know. They were physically in bondage because they had rejected God. But they were also spiritually in bondage because they refused to know Jesus. And then he says, Sarah represents Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. So he puts this thing out here, and it's so amazing how he goes back and picks up these two women that were Abraham's wife and concubine. And he says, these are pictures for us of what freedom really is. Freedom comes from promise. The flesh produces bondage, and it is still here today in our world. That bondage that was produced by the flesh. When Abraham agreed with Sarah to try to make God's promise come to pass. And it wasn't God's promise, it was flesh. When the promise came, it brought life. It brought freedom. It brought hope. And that's the message that Paul is giving there. Christ has purchased our liberty. Again, in Galatians, Paul talks a lot about this in Galatians. He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage, in the law. Don't get tangled in the law. Stand in Christ. He's the one that set us free. Stand in Him. There were all these people coming around saying, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. If you're going to be a child of God, you've got to do this. But Paul says, no, wait a minute. Stand in the liberty. You've been called unto liberty. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. So here's another word that comes up in relation to freedom. One is compassion. The other is service. That's what we talk about when we do feet washing. Being a servant. And we commit to being servants. You know what? I've got some places in my life in relation to service that need to be set free. I'm not like Jesus. Serving. That's what he did. It's easy for me to get wrapped up in the things that I want to do. Liberty calls us to service. We are free in Christ. Let's remember that. Let's look at that. Let's pay attention to that. Let's let that soak into our lives. And I just challenge you. This, as I meditated on this, I had to weep before the Lord. Because I recognize that there's a lot of places where I need to be set free. I'm in Christ. Now, we're not talking about whether we're Christians or not. That's part of the story, whether we're Christians or not. But as Christians, where are we? Are we living in freedom, in liberty, or are we living in bondage? Some places that God wants to break some chains off of us, to change some thought patterns, to change the way we do some things so that He gets glory, so that people look and they say, wow, God really did something in His life. Awesome. Let's stand together for prayer. I'm just going